This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. The Hawaii Tourism Authority has long collected data, not just about hotel vacancy, but alternative vacation rentals. This morning, HPR's Ryan Finnerty joins us live in studio to talk about the impact of the city's crackdown on illegal vacation rentals. Morning.
Morning, Catherine. And yeah, so everyone out there may remember this was one of the most hotly contested issues in local politics in probably a long time. The Honolulu City Council passed and the mayor signed into law over this summer back in June what was called Bill 89. It's now called Ordinance 19-18. And that kind of increased the penalties for operating an illegal short-term rental, and it gave the city regulators some increased flexibility in how they would enforce that law. It's worth noting that most of these rentals were already illegal under a 1989 law. The city estimated there were around 10,000 rentals at the peak. Only about 800 were permitted and authorized. So most of these were already illegal. So this law didn't change that. But what it did do was it made it illegal to post a rental that doesn't have a permit on one of the booking platforms like Airbnb or VRBO. So previously, where authorities would have had to basically do a stakeout and catch someone in the act of renting a property for less than 30 days, which is the threshold for it being considered a short-term rental, and documented and kind of build a case, which was kind of practically impossible for them to do. Now this new law allows them to just take the presence of a property being listed on an Airbnb or a Vrbo and say that is a violation of the law, and you can be fined up to $10,000 per day. So pretty serious. It was a very hotly contested issue. A lot of people on both sides came out, but it did end up passing. And the law was signed into law in June, took effect in August. Everyone might remember the city sent out several thousand warning letters to people ahead of that August deadline. Suspected violators, basically informing them that the city believed them to be in violation of the new law, and that kind of like a cease and desist almost to take it down or to prove that they weren't in violation. And that took effect in August, and so it's been about 3 months, and we are now starting to get some early indications on what the results of that new law are. As you said, the Hawaii Tourism Authority collects data on vacation rentals statewide. They track the number of rental nights available per month on each island. And so to get a little bit of an explanation on this, I spoke with Eric Cloninger. He's a hospitality industry consultant, and his firm did some of the work on that data for the Hawaii Tourism Authority.
So in looking at the data, we see two things. One, the supply on all of the other islands has continued to grow during the same period. And then secondly, the vacation rental supply on Oahu was continuing to increase in 2019 right up until August, when the city and county began enforcement under the new law.
And so we'll talk about the other the neighbor islands in a little bit, but so you heard there, it seems pretty apparent that the new law did cause the upward trend to reverse and actually decline. But to really get a sense of what's going on, you have to go deeper than just the island-wide figure for Oahu, because what Eric said is the change in the number of vacation rentals available varied widely by the different neighborhoods.
Particularly when we drill down to the sub-market supply data, the Waikiki supply is up 23% year over year. The supply in the suburban submarkets, so the Windward Side and North Shore, other Honolulu, those all reported decreases of high 20s to low 30%. So we're pretty early into it. We have 3 months of data, August, September, October, but so far it appears that Bill 89 is in the process of achieving what the city council set out to do. That is to increase the supply of vacation rentals in the resort areas while reducing the supply outside of resort areas.
And so what he means there is, as folks might remember, that under this law, short-term rentals were allowed in the resort districts, which are Waikiki, Ko'olina, and Turtle Bay on the North Shore. You don't need a permit. You can do Airbnb and all of that kind of to your heart's content, as long as it's allowed within your building's rules or your homeowners association rules. And so that's what Eric meant when the intent was to shift the short-term rental supply to those areas and away from residential neighborhoods. And as he said, that's what seems to have happened, although the island-wide supply for Oahu decreased by 5% from this time last year. In Waikiki, it was up 23%. So we're seeing more people doing it there, fewer people doing it, and some of the really busy places like the Windward Side and the North Shore. But what that the question that begs is, what happened to those homes, the 5% that that we lost so far in just 3 months? One option is that they were sold. People kind of cut their losses and got out. But I spoke with the Honolulu Board of Realtors, and they told me that they have no data to suggest that there was a big sell-off around August when Bill 89 took effect, the way that the HTA data does correlate with that date. So it doesn't seem like people are selling in large quantities anyway, enough to move the market. Another option is that they've been transitioned to long-term rentals, which is, I think, kind of what a lot of the city council wanted. But we don't really know, because the Honolulu Board of Realtors doesn't track that data. So they don't know. They only know if something's being bought and sold, and kind of on that side of the market. They don't know what's going on yet with the rental market. They're trying to get into that and collect data on that. But as of right now, we can't really say what percentage of those that dropped off the short-term rental market are in long-term rent. Another possibility is that owners are just kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the city's going to do, and then maybe get back into the short-term rental market if it doesn't look like there's a lot of enforcement. Some are definitely still doing it. They're still rolling the dice. You can look at the websites and see that there are still hundreds of properties available. Most of them, or not maybe not most, but many of them still outside of Waikiki and those resort areas. Eric Cloninger did say, noteworthy, that there's been an increase in the number of rentals, noting that you need a 30-day minimum stay, or that they'll only do one rental every 30 days. And that's kind of a nod to this provision of the law, which existed in the previous 1989 version as well, that if you rent for 30 days or longer, you're not considered a short-term rental, and you can do 12 30-day rentals a year basically without a permit.
Yeah, what's been curious is I've been jumping on just to see what's happening, and I've noticed that some of them are just flat out just kind of in your face. They have their faces on their website, and they don't care. They just figure, well, the city's going to catch me. We'll see how long that takes. It's curious.
Yeah, and I've talked to some people kind of off the record who say they're gonna go until they get a notice of violation, and they can kind of make more money, and hope hopefully they get a low fine the first time, and then they'll stop. People have taken their addresses off, taken off the geotag, so people are definitely trying to get around it. But there is, as he said, a decrease. It is having some effect. Another interesting thing to see is what's going to happen on the other islands, because Oahu's kind of at one stage of this process, and the different counties are in different points of that. Kauai County is far ahead of Oahu, and the data kind of reflects that. They have a much smaller supply of vacation rentals. They're more concentrated in resort areas, higher prices. Hawaii County is going through that process right now, so they may have something similar to what's going on Oahu, and Maui's kind of figuring it out how they're going to do enforcement, if they're going to do more enforcement. So those two counties may see something similar to what's going on here on Oahu in the coming months and years.
Yeah, and I think it's important just for everybody to talk so they can figure out, what can they share as far as best practices and what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, there certainly is a lot out there that they can do.
But thanks, Ryan.
Sure thing.
We have been talking to HPR's Ryan Finnerty about the impact of the vacation rental crackdown. You can find more on this story online at hawaiipublicradio.org.